Yes, welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends. Joey, Jay and Emma for your Saturday morning. Boys, it has been a magnificent week of racing. How's it been for you both?
Morning, Emma. Morning, Jay. It's been good.
It's been a big week. It's fair to say. If I go to one more race meeting, I'm a chance to get a divorce, to be honest, gang. So I need to just tighten the ship a little bit, get back into some pants that actually fit me, and exercise generally a bit more.
I don't think you're alone, Jay. I caught up with a mate on Thursday, just to have a beer, watch a couple of races. Obviously, it was the latest start, so got there in the afternoon. Didn't get home till 11 o'clock. Didn't go down too well. So I'm not far behind you, Jay. So it has been a big week. Just got to get through to today, and then we can resume normal life.
Let's be honest, though. It has been the spring carnival of our own Emma Friedman. Now, she went into this week on a real heater. She'd been on fire with her tip-in, Joey. And a little birdie tells me, Emma, that you actually got the trifecta as well in the Melbourne Cup. Now, is that right?
Yeah. So because we don't have a show on Tuesday, Dead Set Legends, I actually jumped on air with the gang in Brisbane to talk racing on their breakfast show. And yes, I did tip them the trifecta of the Melbourne Cup, as I did with MG, who hosts the Rush Hour in Sydney on Monday night. So had quite a few messages come about 4 o'clock on Tuesday saying that, got the trifecta, well done, congrats. It was great that I put it on myself, because sometimes when you tip something, you forget to actually have a bet yourself.
I was going to ask that. Have you been putting your money where your mouth is? Because you went Caulfield Guineas, bang, Caulfield Cup, bang. You went Cox Plate, bang.
Yep.
Now Melbourne Cup.
The Derby.
And the Derby.
Don't forget the Derby.
Well. So I hope you've got a pocket full of cash.
Fill up.
Yeah, I should have rolled them all into each other, which would have made me a millionaire. I have had a good carnival, though, for the hip pocket. That's, that's for sure. I made sure I put all my bets on before the day really starts, because I got busy with work and stuff like that. But the protest on Tuesday, there's so many people. So I was working in the Lexus marquee, as Jay knows. He popped in, Joey, on Tuesday, just for a little
hang on a second, because
refreshment
to begin
with.
I went over towards the Lexus marquee, Joey.
Sussed out a free drink, did you?
And I saw someone. She was just surrounded by cameramen. Flash and the pop of their camera.
Sure enough,
there's our Emma at the front of the they're just incredibly popular in the Birdcage marquee, Em.
So we invited you in, Jay, and we had a beverage with Charlie and, a couple of people rolled in. And I tipped, the Lexus folk who were in the marquee as well, the trifecta, the night before at this function that I was hosting. Anyways, had people come up to me at about 10 past three going, bummer, you missed out, Master of Reality in for second. Anyways, then, it was quite a late
protest,
sound. So we heard the protest and I was like, what's going on here? It was a stewards protest. People didn't hear it. They were continuing on with their business. It got to about 4:30. People going, oh, bummer, I missed it. Go, did you throw away your tickets? I go, yeah, I threw away my ticket. Why would I keep it? I go, the placings have been reversed. People are going through the bins trying to buy me screwed up tickets to try and collect. So, yes, it has been a very nice
Good. Well, we can't wait then for your tip today in the MacKinnon Stakes, just to finish off the carnival with a clean sweep. So looking forward to that a bit later in the show.
No pressure at all. Yeah. Coming up today, guys, Dean Vickerman from Melbourne United to join us after an impressive run of wins. Hasn't he been doing a great job over the last couple of weeks?
Yep, done well.
Racing guru Francesca Cumani, who's been heading TEN's coverage of the Cup Carnival, will review a massive week of racing and preview Stakes Day as well. I have a feeling you boys are particularly excited about her as a guest. And as always, our Karcher high-pressure quiz and plenty of footy, cricket and tennis. Ash Barty now, the $6 million woman after her win this week. But up next, we're going to talk about 2020 in the AFL world. Plenty of movement still, and Jay-Z has all the latest news we need to know. It's a big morning of sport right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Emma for your Saturday morning. Hope you're having a good one. Well, Carlton are really building a team at the moment, Jay, the likes of the Curnow brothers and Patrick Cripps and so on. But that's largely thanks to list manager Stephen Silvani. But we hear this week he's on the outer and he's set to depart. What's the latest you got on this one?
Yeah, there has been whispers and rumours about this for about 4 or 5 months. This really has been building. But and it
seems like the worst kept secret in football.
Yeah, it has. But what is the one thing that Carlton we know has really got going for it,
Joey? Their list is in great shape.
The young talent. So in 2015, it was basically the hardest job in the AFL was the list manager's job at Carlton. They were old, their salary cap was full, and this was a club that was going nowhere. So they bring in Carlton legend Stephen Silvani. He comes from GWS, done a good job setting up that joint. And in four drafts, and I'm just going to go through them quickly. In 2015, Wietering, Mackay, Curnow. Yep. Talent there. 16, Sam Petrevsky-Seaton, still working his way. Zach Fisher got some speed. 2017, Paddy Dow, we think is going to be a very good player, clean up his ball use. Lockie O'Brien, got work to do on the wing, I would say. And in 18, Sam Walsh, pick one, and then Lamb Stocker trade. That has clearly worked out. And some trades too, McGovern and Setterfield, Lang and Kennedy helped fill out that midfield, and also Marchbank and Plowman, who are keys back there, aren't they, Joey? But you, as a Carlton fan right now, you would just be so extremely excited about the upside. But not for the first time in football club land. There's some political issues.
Right.
There's some division there. I don't feel like everyone is on the same page. And if you hear what people are saying, the chief executive, Kane Little, and Stephen Silvani haven't always seen eye to eye on some things. Yeah. Now, that'll be for all of them to explain in due course. But as we stand now, I think Stephen Silvani will guide Carlton through the draft in a couple of weeks' time and then move on, potentially take a year off from football, Joey. Does this surprise you? Because what do you think about the job he has done?
I think he's done an excellent job. I think this list is in great shape. Their young talent is there. They've got the key position players, which is important. I think they're in a position now, the Blues, for the next 3 years, where they should be targeting now free agents or specific trades and just topping up with specific players they need. I still think they probably need another elite midfielder, an inside mid to help Paddy Cripps, probably another ruckman at some stage that they can get with Cruiser getting towards the end. But really, I think Soss has done a great job. But you're right, it did get messy, particularly in this trade period when we were hearing different things about who they were targeting. You know, one list manager was saying they weren't interested in players and you know, Soss was saying they were, or vice versa. So I think it's pretty obvious that that they don't see eye to eye. But I think if Soss does leave after the draft, all Carlton fans should be really pleased with the job he's done, because I think now this Blues side, there's no excuses over the next 3 years for them to improve and do what the Brisbane Lions have done. Keep your young talent, build a really strong culture, and then go and handpick specific players to top up this side, and they can spike pretty quickly like Brisbane Lions did this year.
So if you're another club, I think you would have to look at a guy like Stephen Silvani.
Absolutely.
North Melbourne need a list manager. You know, there's been talk about Fremantle getting someone else in to help in that sort of talent department. So if he is on the shelf, you would think he would be snapped up. But is it awkward with his sons there, Joey?
Well, that doesn't help. It makes it difficult, doesn't it? I mean, he's got two sons there now, potentially a third coming through. So I think that probably plays a part in it as well. I know Soss, you know, he's uncomfortable about that, and he does try and stay away from it. So look, if he does walk away, as I said, Carlton fans should be really pleased with what he's done.
Yeah, next year we head into an extraordinary period, guys. Many describing it as the best free agency pool that we've ever seen. You've got Brodie Grundy, who's after that $7 million 7-year deal. Jeremy Cameron, the highest paid player in the AFL at the moment. Lockie Whitfield, also from GWS, who, you know, looking potentially for new homes. Jay, those players, do you think they'll be moving on? What do you reckon about the period?
It's going to be the biggest free agency, best free agency pool we've seen. This year was a fizzit, Joey. Yep. But you look at those names for 2020.
I hope the clubs have got their salary caps in order, because this could make or break a club's future.
Yep.
If they lose some of these superstars, or another club who's in a position financially to gain a few of them. Because read a couple of these names out. These are some of the biggest guns in the competition.
As you mentioned, I spent the week doing this sort of stuff, Em. And the fascinating question for me, I ask a lot of list managers, who would you rather, Brodie Grundy or Jeremy Cameron? Because they're the two who are seemingly gettable, as much as Jeremy Cameron likes fishing up there in the Parramatta River. Whitfield, you mentioned, the dream target for North Melbourne. Joe Danaher, we know Sydney. Brad Crouch seems gettable. Will he join the marching band at Adelaide?
That's a good fit for Carlton right there.
And Zach Williams, like,
he's a beauty.
His preliminary final game against Collingwood,
as good as you'll see,
went up in the midfield. Gaff, we know, is out. Scotty Pendlebury, Collingwood's got a massive job there. Mitch Duncan, Dyson Heppel, Travis Boak, Robbie Gray, Jack Viney, all gettable.
It's just a whole host of superstars, isn't it?
So after 8 years, you're eligible, and it's going to be a massive talking point. Will it be a distraction for GWS and Collingwood, Joey, with,
not,
with
no,
Grundy
not for the Giants.
Cameron?
Not for the Giants. They've dealt with this for basically their whole existence.
Mm. Yep.
Of they've, you know, these players being targeted or poached. I don't think it'll bother the Giants. Collingwood, it would be a different story because you can just imagine now the amount of publicity and attention this will get early next year, particularly if they say lose a couple of games or things aren't going so rosy, because again, the name, so Grundy, DeGoey,
Moore,
all out of contract. They've still got to re-sign Pendlebury. That's going to be the fascinating talk next year is Collingwood.
We've been in an era, sorry, Em, where players have traditionally taken less. You look at Hawthorn, you look at Sydney, look at Geelong. Hodgie, Gibson, Mitchell, Lewis, all took haircuts. It is a different move.
It's
it
a
is
different a era.
Different vibe at Grundy where he wants the 7 years, $7 million. We've seen these players have so much power. So, look, it will be fascinating, and Collingwood will get twitchy if he hasn't signed on the dotted line by the time the new season starts.
Before we go to the break, just on Collingwood, as you mentioned, Joey, Moore, DeGoey, Grundy, what kind of market would you frame as to who are those guys stay and who goes?
Well, I think
who's
one
the most important person to stay?
It's impossible. They're all three of them are so important.
Yeah. And
for
so
me, if I had to choose, I would keep Grundy and DeGoey over Moore.
By Darcy Moore.
Yeah, right. If I had to, but that's a hard one.
Good year, Joey.
I know it did.
I'm going to give you a pick one now. Think of it, tell us later. If you could only pick one, Brodie Grundy or Jeremy Cameron, who would you start your side with? Come back on that later, Joey.
Marinate on that.
Yeah, marinate on it. Thanks, guys. That was terrific. Listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Emma for your Saturday morning. Up next, coach of the Melbourne United basketball team, Dean Vickerman, to join us after their massive run of three wins on the trot. They join us next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yeah, hit the road with the Built Tough Mazda BT50. It's smart, powerful, techie, safe, and built by reputation. Mazda BT50, built tough. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Emmy for your Saturday morning. It's time for this.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yes, Emma, it is. And we just heard from Melbourne United coach Dean Vickerman after they defeated New Zealand Breakers on Thursday night to win their third straight game. They're now in the top four. After starting the season, one win and four losses. They'll play Adelaide 36ers tomorrow, 3 o'clock at Melbourne Arena. And this afternoon, the South East Melbourne Phoenix, the other Melbourne side, take on the New Zealand Breakers and RJ Hampton, who some are definitely touting as a top five draft pick. Jay-Z, I don't know if you caught it during the week, but there was some conversation on, it might have been ESPN, or one of the American shows in particular, that LaMelo Ball looks like being the number one pick at this stage in the NBA draft.
That'll be huge for the NBL.
Absolutely.
Won't it? Doesn't it validate the whole league? Will we see more of this? It's super exciting time for Australian basketball.
Absolutely. And RJ Hampton is not far behind him. He's a top five pick. So they'll play this afternoon, 5:30, Melbourne Arena. The cricket, Australia completed the T20 series against Pakistan last night. Hasn't been the most riveting series, Jay.
Did you say you fell asleep during the game before?
Not last night. I did the other night. But
that was with a bag of salt and vinegar chips and the bottle of white wine. Don't forget that one.
You know what's annoying about the cricket? Again, Australia won the toss last night.
Yep.
And again, they elected the field first.
Yeah.
That's just so boring.
It is boring, but it's winning cricket because I think Finchie knows that they'll go out there. They kept Pakistan to 106 from their 20 overs. And then Warner and Finch made the 109 runs in the end off 11 overs without losing a wicket.
None for.
Finch made 52, not out. Warner back in form. It's only in the T20 format, but he made 48, not out. The tennis, the Fed Cup starts today. So that's the women's version of the Davis Cup. They're in the final against France. Obviously, our girl Ash Barty is leading the Australian side. So check that one out this afternoon. In other tennis news, and this one's, again, just caught my eye. Alex de Minaur, he's through to another semi-final of the next-gen ATP finals. He's currently ranked number 18 in the world.
Is he
and
really?
And he'll probably end the year even higher than that. So we have got a top, you know, there's all this talk about Kyrgios and Bernie Tomic, but this Alex de Minaur, he's now ranked 18 in the world. So he'll go into the Australian Open in January as one of the seeds.
And they're saying he's one of the fittest players on the circuit. Where Kyrgios has got all the shots and the confidence, etc. This bloke is an absolute workhorse.
He's like the new version of the Leighton Hewitt from, you know, the early 2000s, isn't he? In supercar news, Scott McLaughlin today could wrap up his second consecutive Supercars Championship with victory at the Sandown 500. 500. Triple M will be broadcasting that straight after this afternoon. So for those motorsport fans, stay tuned. A-League, Melbourne City are 3 points clear on top of the A-League after a 3-1 win over the Central Coast Mariners last night at Amy Park. And some NBA news, just a little bit quickly, Jay. Ben Simmons, just for those that follow the basketball, he's out for the next 3 or 4 games for Philly after having an AC sprain in his shoulder. So he'll miss a little bit of time on the basketball court.
Have you? I'm going to the A-League tonight, Joey.
That's
right. For the first time this season. Have you got an A-League team? Are you a Victory or a...
I'm probably a Melbourne Victory man,
okay.
But not by any sort of...
He's not wearing blue all the time.
Used to be there and, you know, not really. Well, no strong connection.
I'm official. I've never really had an A-League team, but I'm jumping on United bandwagon. So they take on the Wanderers tonight down in Geelong. I'm a Geelong boy, and I'm getting on the green.
Nice.
The green machine.
Well, I'm on the South East Phoenix, the new basketball team. I've jumped ship to break for them. So they need some support, so good on them.
Em, have you got an A-League team?
I'm probably the same as Joey. Followed the Victory for the last 5-10 years, but I'm not wearing a big V on my chest.
And just finally, just a little bit more news, the golf, the President's Cup teams were announced over the last couple of days.
Big news.
Big news. Tiger will play, and we'll have more on that a bit later on, but that team's going to be led by Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas. All the big guns for the US will be out here in Melbourne in December, and the internationals team, Hideki Matsuyama, is obviously one of the stars, but 4 Australians will be playing, all the big guns, Jason Day, Adam Scott, Mark Leishman, and Cameron Smith are all on the team. So can't wait for the President's Cup. I've tried to sponge a couple of tickets for that, so I'm looking forward to going.
What's happening at Royal Melbourne, Joey, and I hear the stands are already going up in anticipation,
absolutely,
which is exciting.
It's one of those things, like the chance to see Tiger Woods play golf live in the flesh.
Yeah. Brooks Koepka now, just watching him hit a ball off the tee.
The crowds will be massive following him. It's going to be an exciting time.
Yep.
Coming up next, we are going to talk racing again because there's a huge card at Flemington for you to sink your teeth into.
Winners, Emma.
Well, you're going to try and find your winner.
What's in your notepad?
I've been scribbling down numbers all morning. We'll have a look at the form guide and find you a winner next right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for your Saturday morning with Joey, Jay and Emma. We are getting excited about the last day of the Melbourne Cup Carnival, guys. McKinnon Stakes Day, and boy, it is a cracking field. But what were your highlights of the week that was, Joey? I know that you paid particularly close attention, but it's been a great week's racing.
It has been a great week's racing. The highlight for me, and I don't want to brag, but I will a little bit, is I've got a syndicate with 4 of my mates. We just have a little punting club throughout the year, and it pays basically for dinner in December. We go out and it pays for the night. But we had a little bit of spending money, and on Melbourne Cup Day, we're trying to work out whether we had a quaddy or have a crack at the first 4 in the Caulfield Cup. And we got the first 4 in the Caulfield Cup.
So we, in the Melbourne Cup?
In the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, the first 4. Holy moly.
And that was quite a nice collect. So all of a sudden, we've got more to play with than going out for dinner. So that's pretty exciting. That was the highlight for me.
Highlight.
It was pretty exciting.
Is.
Yeah. So it was great.
It wasn't exactly a short one either.
No, it wasn't. Paid $80,000. Yeah. But we only had a small percentage. I don't want to get carried. We only had a small, small percentage, but it was a nice result.
And,
what about you?
And a great result for an Australian horse, Em, because we have been talking up the internationals, but that was a significant storyline of the whole spring, right?
Yeah, it was, particularly as well noting that Danny O'Brien was the trainer. You know, he's been through a tough time along with Mark Cavanaugh during the Cobalt saga of the last couple of years. For him to come back and not only train the winner of a Melbourne Cup, but then to go on and train the winner of an Oaks on Thursday as well is an amazing achievement. Craig Williams, he's been riding for years and years and terrifically so, but I couldn't believe that was his first Melbourne Cup. I mean, we knew that was the case, but you'd think that by now he would have won one. So a great effort for an Australian bred, Australian trained, Australian ridden, Australian owned horse to take away now probably the feature staying race around the world.
He's had a big carnival, Craig Williams. I reckon every time I've watched the race, I've looked up, it's been Craig Williams getting interviewed after after a race. He's had a very good spring.
Triple on Thursday?
I think so, he's had a good spring.
So what are we doing today, M?
All right.
Because, Jay, I just want to go through this again. This has been a big spring. And it started back, it seems like ages ago, we had the shows out at Caulfield.
Yep.
We went all the way back to Caulfield Guineas. And your best bet of the day, Uncle Anthony trained Super Seth. You tipped it, Emma, and it won the Caulfield Guineas. He then went to the Caulfield Cup. We said, Emma, who's going to win? And she said, oh, this Mur de Glace will almost be impossible to beat. And it won. The Cox Plate, it was an easy one. You said this Japanese horse, Le Greciere, if it shows its best, it'll just win. And it bolted in.
Yep, $3.
This sounds nice when you say it.
Then Derby Day, there was the favourite. There was a couple of short price favourites. And Emma said, I would not be leaving out my Uncle Anthony's horse Warning.
Yep.
And I was going to leave it out of the quaddie. Luckily, Emma told me
you
to put it in.
You did it? Oh,
I put it in.
Bang.
Put it in, and it got up. Then Melbourne Cup Day, as you said earlier, Emma, you were tipping to anybody that would listen, the trifecta. Thank you very much. Oaks Day, we didn't have a tip because it was on the show on Thursday, but Miami Bound, I'm sure you would have tipped it. Everyone seemed to be on Miami Bound. So now, to cap off this spring, McKinnon Stakes Day, and I must admit, it's a tough race.
Oh, it's a toughie.
It's a toughie, but we need you to clean sweep the board
and
find us the winner of McKinnon Stakes, please.
Looking at this field, you've got some terrific old war horses here. Hartnell, who has his swan song today, his last ever race. He'll hang up the racing plates. Galo Chop as well has been terrific. Humidor should have, could have, would have run in the Cox Plate, but didn't in the end. And then you look down the order and you've still got horses like Kings Will Dream, Sosie Bon, who's been terrific for a long time, Night's Watch, Magic Wand, who was excellent in the Cox Plate, and then the favourite, Melody Bell, the New Zealand Raider, who has been on fire, four on the trot. Melody Bell, I think, wins, but I would be having each way money on Hartnell. Last race, he's been running at a place rate of 75% since his last win. So he hasn't won a race for over a year, maybe 18 months or so, but his place rate is at 75% in those last 18 months. So I think it makes complete sense to be having each way money on him. But I do think the New Zealand mare Melody Bell wins that one. In terms of the other racing, though, the Darley Sprint, Santa Ana Lane didn't get the Everest done, but I think easily takes away the chocolates today.
That's Uncle Anthony's horse. Again.
Yeah, about $2.10 there.
That's a lock.
That's a lock, I think. And then in the Queen Elizabeth, I like Carriff at about $5. So what I'd be doing as a strategy today, I'd be malting up Santa Ana Lane number one in race five, the Darley Sprint. Hartnell the place, $3.10 in the McKinnon. Mm-hmm. Or if you want Melody Bell, the win at about the same price. So it's six one way, half a dozen the other. Mm-hmm. And then Carriff, depends how ballsy you want to be. Either the win for $5 or $1.80 the place. If you did the place, you'd be getting about $12 for that three-leg multi.
Nice.
Juicy on the last day of
that
the carnival.
Nice.
We're only too
race
greedy.
Race 4, number 8, is Carriff. So that's got to be the first leg of your multi.
Yeah.
Straight into race 5, number 1. Just put that in as the win, Santa Ana Lane, the best sprinter in the country. And then race 8, you've either got the option of Hartnell the place or Melody Bell the win.
What do you think, Joey?
Oh, I'm very excited by that. I'm all over it. I'm following you, Em.
in the Darley Sprint, Em, just quickly, do you think the Everest, etc., and the other sprints had detracted from the field? That's been a bit of a talking point this week. Do you still like the field generally, or is that Sydney-Melbourne thing eating into it a bit?
I think that's probably fair. Having said that, you've got Nature Strip, who's actually rebounded this campaign and clocked up a win at Moonee Valley. Malibu Style is a pretty consistent kind of performer. In her time, for a time, was one of the best sprinters in the country. Elise is still an absolute beauty, but we'll really need to find some form today. And Loving Gabby, we know how much we love her as well. I do agree with you. It's not the premier sprint race of the spring. I think the Everest can lay claim to that. But you do have, you know, potentially the best sprinter in Australia, if not, you know, top three in the world in Santa Ana Lane, heading the market. I saw him about 10 days ago when I went to the Flemington Stables, guys, and my God, he is a monster. Yep. He is massive. So he's got the power. We know he's unconventional in his race style. He settles at the back of the field and has to find luck in running to find up that ground in the last couple of furlongs. But I think he'll be doing that today. He's had a pretty great prep. 2 seconds, but we'll be looking for a win today. So, guys, I wish you all the best.
Thanks, you too, Em. Thank you.
Last well done. Cup Carnival. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Saturday morning, we are doing it for a wheelbarrow or cart that lasts longer. Sherlock, they're available at Bunnings Warehouse right now. And if you want to win one, you can give us a call right now. 133353. We've got a wheelbarrow and a Sherlock steel mesh cart to give away to a lucky listener this morning, Jack.
They're the best ones, Em. I've seen these. I've been eyeing this off in Bunnings. They're the best ones. I got a dodgy one. I want one of these ones.
Right.
What are you wheeling around in your backyard?
That's like garden occasionally, you know, dig up
you
stuff.
You a gardener?
Yeah.
Tell this story. You're sort of a try-hard gardener, aren't you? You have a crack at it.
It's some therapeutic time out in the backyard.
How's the kids' trampoline going? Is it safe?
That is the best $1,500 investment of my life. They are on that thing. Yeah.
So and better than a pool. You don't need a swimming pool if you've got a trampoline.
Can't use the pool all year round.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's and been it's more amazing. I just dug it in the wrong spot and had to dig it again.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Okay.
It's been a very solid investment, Joe.
Okay, good.
But back to the wheelbarrow, which is a good one, Em.
Yeah, as we mentioned, Sherlock, they're available from Bunnings Warehouse right now. The phone lines have lit up. We've got two to give away right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. But coming up in the second hour, Francesca Cumani going to join us as she heads to Flemington for Channel 10's coverage of McKinnon Stakes Day. And, of course, our Karcher High Pressure Quiz. We've got one of them to give away after 11 as well. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yeah, you're listening to the second hour of Triple M's Dead Set Legends this Saturday with Joey, Jay and Emma. We have talked footy, we have talked racing, we have talked basketball, and we've got plenty more to come on the show this morning. But boys, speaking of footy, Jay, you actually unleashed your best pick one of the year so far. It was good.
It was a doozy, fair to say. Who would you rather, the two superstar free agents, Brody Grundy or Jeremy Cameron? So we know that Geelong and Essendon would love Jeremy Cameron to either replace or be the long-term succession plan for Tom Hawkins and Joe Danaher. But we know Brody Grundy is not just a ruckman, Joey.
Yep.
He's racking up midfield numbers. We know he's probably the best ruckman in the game ahead of Max Gawn. If you could take only one, my man.
Yep.
Who would you take, Grundy or Cameron?
So it's a team, if I'm going to take them for a team, it's a clean sheet. So it's not like it's a team that needs a ruckman, needs a key.
Yep.
This has been your best one because I've tossed and turned over who to go. I've switched and flipped.
I've seen you wrestle with it.
I have wrestled with it. I'm leaning now towards, I think, Jeremy Cameron.
Really?
Because throughout our time on the show, I've just got a slight knock on ruckman that I think their influence is a little bit overrated. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily the ruckman who can influence the stoppages. It's the midfielders, because we've seen ruckman get their hands on, you know, plenty of hit outs and it not lead to clearances. As great as Grundy is, and he is the best ruckman in the competition, I think I'd prefer the gun key forward who's the match winner. And Jeremy Cameron, when he's playing his best football, no one can argue that he is an absolute match winner. So I'm going to slightly go towards Jeremy Cameron. But I'm curious to know what the listeners and the social media people at home are saying, because this one's really got me.
Have you got the numbers there, Em?
I do. And it's interesting, Jay, because we put this on Twitter and we also put it on Instagram.
Yep.
So on Twitter, 55% of the vote has gone to Brody Grundy.
Right.
But then on Instagram, 73% has gone to Grundy.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's so split. Instagram's more keen on Brody Grundy than Twitter.
Okay. What is really interesting about what you just
who
said,
would
then?
You go? By the way,
you know what? I'd go Cameron. I'm with you. Yeah, okay. they're key forward. And I'm right with you on the question mark over Ruckman's influence and particular, you know, disposal efficiency. Because in the last quarter of that preliminary final, there were 42 ruck contests.
And Grundy hit one every hit out.
Won 30 of them.
Sorry, 30 out of 42.
30 out of 42, which is a domination, really.
Yep.
Only one was to advantage.
Yep.
And they were, and Collingwood was outscored. Collingwood lost the overall clearances 9-14 in that last term. So you can have the most dominant ruckman of all time, but still there's a question mark over the chemistry.
Nick Natanui's the only ruckman whose hit outs make such a big difference, but he doesn't get the disposals that Grundy gets. So yeah, I think the key forward they are like gold. If you get the best key forward in the game, you can win games any single week.
And the big conundrum, I think, for Collingwood, for all the talent they've got in there, they were ranked 16th, Joey, for centre clearance differential.
Yep.
So you look, you're the best ruckman in the game,
that
elite on-ball brigade, but they aren't capitalising out of it. That is one of the big challenges for Nathan Buckley, I think, heading into 2020.
Yep.
Oh, God, that was a tough battle,
good
guys.
One, Jay. That was your best.
Thanks, Joey.
It's taken 40 weeks.
Because we've had deodorant ones. Yeah. We've had, which shaving cream do you prefer?
Yeah.
Nah, you're a ripper. We still love you, Jay. Hey, coming up next, boys, you're going to love it. Racing royalty. Francesca Cumani is going to join us on the show as she heads Channel 10's coverage of McKinnon Stakes Day. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. Well, hasn't it been an amazing week of racing at Flemington? Group 1's galore and plenty of stories to tell. Channel 10 has done a great job bringing it all to our living rooms, headed by our next guest, superstar host Francesca Cumani, who joins us now. Welcome, Cheska, and congrats on another Cup Carnival. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. We are about to get into our Karcher high pressure quiz. Karcher, German engineered, up to 7-year warranty, whatever the cleaning task, Karcher, they have the solution. So if you think you've paid enough attention to the world of sport over the last 7 days, give us a call right now, 133353, to get involved. Joey,
yep.
You've got the listing of questions in front of you. Is it a tricky or an easy one this week?
I reckon it's relatively easy, except maybe for the last question. But if you followed a bit of the horse racing and a little bit of general sport news, you should be all over this one.
All right, give us a call right now to get involved. 133353, our Karcher High Pressure Quiz, right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Time to fire up the Karcher and see who can take some precision German pressure. This is the High Pressure Quiz. Thanks to Karcher, life's most satisfying clean.
Yeah, we love doing this each week. Our Karcher High Pressure Quiz, German engineered, up to 7 years warranty, whatever the cleaning task. Karcher, they have the solution. Joey, you are an excellent quiz master, developing these questions every single week. And
Tony Barber.
You've done a terrific job this Saturday as well.
Thank
you. Tony Barber.
Tony like Barber. That.
Glenn Ridge.
Yep, couldn't think of any others. Who else, Rosie?
Eddie Maguire.
Eddie Maguire.
Oh, of course.
Bit of millionaire.
Of course.
Are you ready to do it?
Ready to go.
We have got our callers on the line. First cab off the rank is Shane in Geelong. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning. How are we going?
Good, thanks, Shane. Just a little token footy question first up, mate. Jack Nunes, former teammate of mine at St Kilda, was picked up as a delisted free agent by which club?
Jack who, sorry?
Jack Nunes.
Jack Nunes.
Oh, sorry, Shane. That was just a little bit too slow there, Dale.
Yeah.
Scott in Diggers Rest, you're up.
Scotty, Jack Nunes, who is he picked up by this week as a delisted free agent?
Geez, Collingwood?
No, not the Pies. We've spoken about this club this morning and where their list is at. Ivan?
I think it's Carlton.
Yeah, well done, mate. Well done. Good man, Jack Nunes. You'll be a handy pickup for the Blues. Don't worry about that. He's a very good player. Second question, who is the captain of the USA golf team that's coming out for the President's Cup in December?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, very good, mate. Righto, a couple of racing questions. I reckon these are pretty straightforward. Who just won the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday? What was the name of the horse?
Vow and Declare.
Yes.
Well done, Ivan.
Next question, though. Who was the jockey that rode it?
Craig Williams.
Very good.
Oh, he's getting
through
close.
It. And I'll give you a multiple choice for question five to win the high-pressure Karcher cleaner. Do you want motorsport or A-League? Yeah, I know. I had to make one of them tricky. Ivan.
Can you give me cricket or footy or
anything?
No. Oh, I'll go A-League then.
Oh, I would have taken the Formula One, I reckon.
Oh,
well, all right. Who sits... Okay, if you're listening to our show earlier, though, this will test you. You will know this one because I did mention it. Who sits currently on top of the A-League ladder? It's not Perth, Ivan. Sorry, mate.
It's not the NBL, Dan.
I mentioned this in Saturday scoreboard. So, Tom from Coburg, I hope you were listening. Who sits on top of the A-League ladder at the moment?
Melbourne City.
Very good, Tom. Well done.
Yep. Congrats, Tom. You've walked away with a Karcher high-pressure cleaner. As we mentioned, it's an absolute beauty. Whatever the cleaning task, Karcher, they have the solution. What's the first job to complete with the cleaner, Tom?
I'm probably just going to clean the front porch just after I'm going to collect that multi that you've put on before.
Yes, Tommy. Very good.
Oh, I like Tom.
All over it.
We're hoping that comes off today too. We wish you the best of luck, Tom.
Thanks, heaps. Thanks, guys.
Good quizzing as well, Joey.
Good multi by you. That's what everyone's listening for, Emma. Let's be honest. It's your multi. There's a lot of pressure on you today, but you've delivered so far.
Awful. Yeah, I know. I'm trying my best. Hey, stay tuned. Coming up next, Joey's going to relive some pre-season memories, which are still haunting him to this day because most clubs head back to the training track this week, Jay, don't they? And things are looking... I'd be scared if I was a player going back for my first day after a bit of a break.
No one, to be honest, seems like they enjoy the prospect of the first first 2 or 3K time trial, especially if you've just been to Vegas or you've had a good time in Asia or something like that. So I'm interested in some of your stories, Joey. And also want to know, what is the hook for Richmond this year? How does Damien Hardwick and his Richmond crew motivate his troops to go back to back? They've climbed the mountain twice in 3 years. They've got the talent. They got the edge and the hunger, Joey. I'm interested in what you think on that, how the Tigers approach their back-to-back premiership quest.
Hold your fire. That's coming up next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. Even though footy season is done and dusted for 2019, boys, many clubs this week heading back for the dreaded pre-season, which... Jay, I mean, I read your articles, I read the other articles in the Herald Sun, and look at the vision on the news and see people taking cheeky vomits after laps of the tan, and it sounds horrific.
We sort of get sucked into it from a media point of view because we always talk up the, you know, fifth year fringe midfielder who
who's flying,
runs his PB or whatever, and, you know, but can't get a game sort of 4 months later. But, Joey, what is the anxiety like as a player when you are coming back? You've had probably a big 6 or 8 weeks. You sort of, you know, had a few beers over the journey, and then you come back, Ross Lyon or whoever else is staring there, and they're about to get the stopwatch out and watch you sprint for the next 2 games.
It's ridiculous. You get anxiety and nerves your first training session back. The time trials, the skin folds. Yet, as we know, as players, it makes no difference to what's going to happen round one. Yet, it's like being back at school. First day back at school, you have those... the crook guts because you're worried about what time you'll run in the time trials and all those sorts of things. So it is a horrible experience. It's not fun. And you're right. You can already see the headlines in the papers. Everyone will be flying. Everyone will be running PBs. Everyone will be set up for their best season ever. That's what preseason is meant to be for. That's why we do the preseasons. But it's generally not fun. I mean, unless you're a guy that loves getting out there and doing pushing yourself. And there are players that do that and good on them. But most of us just like playing footy and kicking the footy around. And when the balls come out, we're happy. But when it's the time trials and all those other things, it's a horrible experience.
So if you've got 6 weeks off, Joey, when did you start to sort of pull up and then refine the diet, go for an extra run in your off-season break? Like, did you run at all, exercise at all throughout that period?
Oh, no, you have to. No, to be honest now, the requirements to come back in pre-season, a lot of the players are almost expected to run nearly PBs when they first come back.
Wow.
So even though you get your 8 weeks annual leave or 10 for the older guys, it's not actually 10 weeks of doing no training. Technically on the program, it'll be 2 weeks of nothing. Mm-hmm. And then from 2 weeks onwards, you'll have a program where you'll just integrate, go for a 20-minute run, go and do some light weights. And it builds up to a point where by your last 3 or 4 weeks of holidays, you're going and doing sessions by yourself where, you know, you're doing your 10 400s or really pushing yourself at a local park or your local footy club. So it is, it's not like you're having no training and coming back cold, but a lot of boys are coming back in pretty good shape.
Richmond are the club that you're going to have your eye on, Jay. You know, 2 premierships in the last couple of years. And the hunger. We talk about whether they have the hunger for 2020, if they can make it, you know, 3 in the last 4. How do you get yourself up for this? Because you're on a high, aren't you?
Well, that is the big question. And that is why you think about Alistair Clarkson and why Lee Matthews are such brilliant coaches is because they need to find something to stimulate and motivate intrinsically these players to get the best out of them again. Like, what can Damien Hardwick do to get Dustin Martin to reach the heights that he's already done? We know you need talent, but you also need effort and this sort of deep desire to really push yourself to win premierships. And it's going to be a great challenge for Damien Hardwick. It's the challenge of any team that wins a premiership, how you have that motivation, not only as a collective group, but individually, because what motivates Dustin Martin will be different to what motivates Trent Cotchin, to what's going to motivate Tom Lynch. So it's going to be fascinating to see because we know they've got the talent, but it's that last little bit required that is going to be interesting to see.
And Dusty said that he found it difficult in 2018, coming off 2017. So he faces clearly that challenge. I wonder if it's just the carrot of literally becoming an immortal, like a 3-time premiership player. They don't exist very often. To think that they've got Alex Rance, probably the best centre forward in the competition.
Centre half forward.
Coming back, plus guys like Pickett, Stack, Daniel Rioli, all got their, you know, best footy ahead of them, you'd imagine. So there's going to be a little bit of turnover there to add some sort of spice. But I just wonder, on that whiteboard from Dimmer for the first session, whether it's something geared around, seriously, boys, you know.
He'll need something. Yeah, he will need something. And it'd be fascinating. But, yeah, I mean, pre-season's one of those times. You've got to go through it. Everyone's got to do it, but everyone does it and is relatively the same. The running loads and the weights and all those sorts of things are about the same. So everyone is relatively at the right fitness levels. Again, the difference is the talent and then that motivation and the effort required.
What's the worst thing you ever had to do in a preseason? The one that really churned your gut?
We had, his name's John Donoghue, and he knows who he is because we all used to hate him. He was the wrestling coach, but he's the Melbourne Storm grapple coach. I am amazed that they use him like 3 times a week. We used to do one 45-minute session a week that was horrible. We basically wrestle each other in the sand. You couldn't breathe. It's full on, and we used to hate it. We used to dread it. It's such a difficult session, and these rugby boys do it like 3 times a week. It's phenomenal because it is. I mean, as you know, if you play around with a mate and you wrestle for 30 seconds, you know how tired everyone gets.
Doing in your spare time, John.
Imagine doing it for 45 minutes.
Almost every club's used him. I've seen Carlton do it in the sand, and seriously, blokes were dry reaching.
Yes.
But he's an intimidating guy, right?
Yes.
He's a big guy, and I've seen him absolutely give it to players about...
So he's an old judo, jiu-jitsu, sort of cage fighter bodyguard style guy, and he has the old school rules, like no hands on hips. If you got hands on hips, we got punished. No drinking water during the 45-minute session.
What?
It's the real old school. It's a mental... It's as much a mental challenge as it is physically, and he used to... It was funny. He'd come to the sessions, and he'd be standing on his own because no one wanted to talk to him because everyone hated him. And we used to go over, and I used to joke towards the end as I got a bit older and said, John, why doesn't anybody? He goes, I don't know. I'm just a nice guy. And we said, no, you're not, John. Nobody likes you. But, nearly every club has used him at some stage just for that. Again, it's as much the mental psychology of pushing through and digging in and doing something really hard together as a group as it is the physical element of working on your tackling and the physical toll that it takes.
Cool. For any of those heading back to preseason training this week, we wish you the best of luck. And Jay, we look forward to seeing which player from obscurity has, clocked up a, 2 minute 10, 1K trial or something ridiculous.
We've still got to write 4 or 5 pages of footy in Melbourne.
All credit to Max Gorn or Buddy Franklin or Eddie Betts that all rocked up the week early. All they did was rock up, say good day to the coaches, got their photo taken and left, but they're in the paper. Smart by them. That's what experience does, Emma.
Exactly right, Joey. We'll be back to wrap it up next right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Emma for your Saturday morning. We've had an absolute ripper talking all things sport, but it's time for this.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
I'm not sure if anyone else has experienced this, but last Saturday after the show, I was sort of on my way home and then going to the races. But look, I'm normally a pretty big fan of Uber. Use it a fair bit. But this bloke picked me up, as in took the charge, without actually picking me up.
Physically collecting you.
Yeah. So it's sort of this weird thing happened, and he sort of... went past my area or whatever and then drove on, but he started charging me but I didn't actually enter the car. And then
was there someone maybe who looked like Jay-Z and there was a doppelganger out there and you've been conned?
It was unusual because I was essentially paying for this fare of a trip that I wasn't in. So I'm ringing this guy, right? And I'm like, what is going on? And he just refused to pick up my call, so I had to cancel, which charged me in the end. And so I've had this got to Uber and disputed it and got a refund, etc.
Yeah.
But give me a spell.
Shifty.
The ghosty pickup.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get me. So just be on guard, loyal listeners.
Come on,
be careful of the ghosty pickup from Uber. I've not experienced it before, but it was a stinker.
Good advice for the listeners out there. Mine quickly, guys, the Melbourne weather during this spring carnival.
Oh, you've stolen my Joey.
Is it the same? Give me a spell. Like, are we any danger of getting some sunshine and a beautiful day?
Yep.
We've had hail, rain, wind. This spring carnival, give us a spell.
A bit of sunshine would be nice, wouldn't it?
It's been horrible.
Tuesday was
it's the best. It's so rough. And you know what? Tuesday was meant to be the worst. So thank God we got a little bit of sunshine Tuesday, but it was still a little bit chilly. But the hail yesterday and looking outside today.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
No. It's not ideal at all. So if you're heading out to Flemington, get that little poncho ready.
Umbrella.
Get the trench coat or the puffer jacket, the umbrella, all that jazz, and keep yourself nice and rugged up because Melbourne does not want to play fair.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
And a champion becomes a legend.
Just a little cheeky Dead Set legend. We know the President's Cup is coming up in December. Royal Melbourne, we spoke about it earlier. Tiger Woods is the captain, and it's going to be great because the best golfers in the world, we get to see them live. But there's been some talk whether Tiger would pick himself in the team. It's fair to say Tiger's pretty happy with Tiger.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen to how he went about announcing whether he would pick himself in the President's Cup team.
Yeah, as captain, I'm going to choose Tiger Woods as the last player on the team. He's made, what, 9 cups, and he's played in Australia twice.
Well, that was going to be a give me a spell. And then
yeah,
I
that should have been a give me a spell.
I thought that, but I'm like, I like it from Tiger. He should be playing in it. He's in good form. He's back to his almost best. And it's going to be great to see Tiger Woods live at the President's Cup. So a little Dead Set Legend of the Week goes for Tiger Woods for picking himself in the team.
Should have just said, I pick myself rather than third person.
Yeah, Tiger Woods. That's just naff. It's just nobby. That's what it is.
And we talked earlier about how much you've just slayed this whole spring carnival and got a real fill up because you're just picking winners left, right and centre. Yep. Can you recap your tips for today, please?
All right. So I'm having a multi. I've had a real, just like as disclaimer though, I've had one really silly multi that if it comes off, I'm not coming to work next year. I just feel like if I'm in this kind of form, I may as well have a real big swing. But my multi today, for the punters out there, remember, gamble responsibly. Race 4, number 8, Carriff in the Queen Elizabeth. You can get the place about $2. So I'm going to be doing that unless you feel really confident for the win. Going into the Darley Sprint, race 5, number 1, Santa Ana Lane, about $2.20 at the moment. Everest runner-up, best sprinter in Australia, and Hartnell. The place, $3.10 in the McKinnon, or you could take Melody Bell, $3.10 the win. So it's up to you which you like better. But for that, combining those odds, you get about $11, $12.
That's good enough to me.
That'll do. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well done, Emma. You've been in great form. Let's finish the carnival on a good note. Another good show, guys.
Yeah, of course, all the racing on Channel 10 this afternoon. Thanks to Francesca Kumani for joining us this afternoon. She was terrific. It was lovely to have her on as well, wasn't it, guys?
It was, and she likes race 2, number 2.